Good morning. My name is John Brash. I was fortunate enough to have a sister, Mary Jim Watson. And I would like to tell you a little story. Once upon a time, about 100 years ago, Dr. Charles Watson and wife were blessed with a son, whom they named James Rose Watson. The Rose came from a branch of the family, which lived not too far from Pittsburgh in the north and west side. As a child, he showed great promise. He was good scholastically. He knew how to interact with his fellow beings, and he was good athletically. In due course, he graduated from college and was admitted to Harvard Medical School. While in Boston, he became acquainted with Marion. Was attending Erskine School for Young Ladies in Boston area. Following graduation, he obtained a fellowship at the Mayo Clinic, where Marion lived. And I must tell you that our father was on the graduate education committee there. And as such, he had access to the records of all, especially male fellows. And he carefully screened these, and suitable ones were invited to our house for dinner to meet his daughters. You perhaps didn't know my sister, but she was always about 10 steps ahead of the game. And this sequence was preempted by meeting Jim in Boston, and it was no contest from then on. And they were married in Rochester, and I'm happy to say he lived happily ever after. During his time there, Jim served on the service of W.J. Mayo. As you perhaps know, the Mayos were two brothers, but one of them was more equal than the other, and that was W.J. And he took a liking to Jim. And as Jim was preparing to return to Pittsburgh to practice with his father, he suggested that he might wish to stay at Mayo's for a little further training, and this, of course, meant that he would be looked at for a staff position, which meant automatic prominence in American surgery in those days. Jim turned it down to return to Pittsburgh in the middle of the Depression to start a surgical practice. This was no mean feat. However, he practiced with his father, and several things helped him along the way. Some of you know this, but in the 1930s, one night they were called to Providence Hospital to take care of a stab wound to the heart. And in those days, there weren't ready blood banks, and it became apparent that this patient needed a transfusion badly, and so they, with ordinary sponges, which in those days were dug up out of the sea and sterilized, ordinary sponges, they retrieved some of the blood and passed it through cheesecloth and then put it back intravenously. And this was quite a trick for the time. Nowadays, at the University of Pittsburgh, they can give 40 units of blood in about 10 minutes with special equipment. But in those days, this was something, and this was dramatized on a radio series called The March of Time. And this, of course, did great help to Jim's practice, in which continued to grow. The war came along. He enlisted in the United States Army Medical Corps and was sent to the South Pacific. He spent 2.5 years there, mostly in New Guinea, during which time he contracted a very bad case of hepatitis and came close to dying. Fortunately, he returned and continued with his practice, which his father worked long beyond his retirement years to preserve for him. And he became one of the most prominent surgeons in Pennsylvania and the prominent surgeon in Pittsburgh. And, of course, a role model for his family. Jim had great empathy for his family, and this, fortunately for me, included brothers-in-law. I can remember one Christmas when we spent it in Pittsburgh in Roslyn Farms when I was an intern and very short of sleep. And to my surprise, although I didn't notice it much at the time, my wife and I slept in Marion and Jim's bedroom, I in Jim's bed. At 2 a.m., the phone rang, and I picked it up, and thinking I was still back as an intern in a hospital, said hello, and this voice said, "Dr. Watson," and I replied, "This is Brash. You called the wrong number," and hung up. Jim was very thoughtful. He never told me the bad side of what happened when care was, I'm sure that the person got somebody else, but that definitely was in bad form. But on further visits, I was always excluded from the telephone. Jim's passion, as was mentioned, was medicine, only second to his family. He has been described by people as being courtly, but with a twinkle in his eye. He was very ethical. He did everything right. He was very smart, and he was a great guy. Like father, like son.